Greetings, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. And you are listening to thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, March the 13th, 2011. And on the Mind of God program, we endeavor to rise up out of the mind of the ruling class and ruling families. We endeavor to rise up out of the mind of the warmongers and the blood shedders, the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. We want to climb up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, so that when we do so, we can see how to organize, come together for freedom, justice, and equality, the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. And we are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any political, religious, and revolutionary organization that is of like mind. My beautiful sister Venice is the producer, helper, engineer, facilitator, coordinator of this website, and I'm thankful unto the Most High for her, and I pray blessings on her and her children. Contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. yahlove@comcast.net. And as we always do, let us pause and give thanks and praises unto the Most High Creator and the Most High Creatress. So we give praises unto the Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, Father, the Almighty Father, is known as Abba. In the African Arabic language, the Almighty Father is known as Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, the Almighty Father is known as Amen. And in the Native American tradition, the Almighty Father is known as the Great and the Grand Father. And that word Amen in Egypt is the hidden and unseen one, the Father. Also giving praises to our wonderful and beautiful and precious Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. She, our Mother, Holy Spirit, is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom in the African Hebrew language is chokmah. And that is a word referring to and denoting a feminine entity, in this case, our Mother, the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, Mother Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. Only the Mother conceives, the Father begets, and the Mother conceives. Holy Spirit got to be the Mother. Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus. She did not only conceive Jesus, but she is our mother as well. She also, Mother Holy Spirit, also conceived all of us and conceived the whole of creation and the universe as Father begat the human family and the creation and the universe. Because Father and Mother have come together to produce all that we see out of the spirit of love. In the African Arabic language, the name and title of our Mother, the Holy Spirit, are Ruach HaKadosh. And the word Ruach, found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, that word Ruach is feminine. That's this African Hebrew word for spirit in the African Hebrew language, Ruach. That word is feminine, referring to denoting a feminine entity, in this case, our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, the name and title of our mother, the Holy Spirit, is Ila. And that word is also an African Hebrew word, and it is also feminine, Ila. And our Islamic sisters and brothers say, Ashadu Ila Ila Ha'il Allah. And you hear Ila, and you hear Allah. Ila is the mother, spelled I-L-L-A-H. And Allah is the father, spelled A-L-L-A-H. For once again, mother and father have come together to produce all that we see, the whole of creation, out of the spirit of love, have given birth, conceived and beget, given birth to all that we see out of the spirit of love. In Egypt, our mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet, which means the hidden and unseen one, the mother. In the Native American tradition, our mother the Holy Spirit is known as the great and the grand mother. So I greet you, my sisters and brothers of the human family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the African Hebrew revolutionary Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. And believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of his imperial majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. Emperor Haile Selassie Rastafari was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say, Jah Rastafari, Haile Selassie, as Jesus Christ's new names in these last days of judgment in Mystery Babylon, which is no mystery, for we know through prophecy that this United States of North America, North American Empire, is the Babylon spoken of in your scripture. This is to teach us that Christ desires to be revealed and manifested in all of our personalities, thereby making all of our names the new names of Jesus Christ, in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that in the last days Christ would return in the uprising of the people, the uprising in the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. The book of Revelation is the uprising of the oppressed, manifesting that Christ spirit that causes you to rise up and defend the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. That Christ spirit that causes you to rise up and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed from and out of the hands and power of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. These are those last days of judgment in Babylon, and the people all over the earth are rising up. The I in Haile Selassie I is you and I, you and me. The Rasta don't say you and me. The Rasta say I and I, to teach all of us that we are all divine manifestations of divinity, living in this divine creation, this divine universe, on this divine planet that we call earth, in this divine house of God that we call flesh. So we are yet in the book of Revelation. We are yet looking at current affairs through the eyes and mind of Jesus Christ. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation, apocalyptos in the Greek, apocalypse in the English, same equivalent, revelation, meaning to uncover the truth, remove the falsehood, so that we may see and understand how this wicked system works, so that we may organize and come together and usher in the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. We want to look at some current affairs and current issues, and then go back into our study in the book of Revelation and the book of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Some interesting information I want to share with you. First, starting with Libya, and then moving to this hearing conducted by Representative Peter King on the so-called radicalization of Islam. But let's start with some facts I learned concerning Libya, because what we want to understand is that these events are being controlled by the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. The worldwide and national discourse concerning events, how the Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, CIA, MI5 and 6, Mossad are seeking to infiltrate the worldwide revolution and spin the revolution for their benefit. So I was listening to Phil Taylor of the Taylor Report, and I'll have these sites on my summary page so that you may go and get this information. But the March the 7th edition, 2011, March the 7th, 2011 edition of the Taylor Report, hosted by Phil Taylor and another co-host also by the first name of Phil. They interviewed, or Phil Taylor interviewed, Stephen Gowans, G-O-W-A-N-S. And they began to reveal what we would call or uncover this fictitious narrative in Libya. See, we've been given a spin on the events in Libya by the media, and the media working on behalf of the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, the bankers, and the international multinational resource and mineral corporations. Now, Phil Taylor, in uncovering some of these truths, removing the falsehood, also cited Democracy Now!, March the 7th edition of Democracy Now!, where Peter Bokart of Human Rights Watch was interviewed. So, Stephen Gowans, interviewed by Phil Taylor, they cited Peter Bokart of Human Rights Watch on Democracy Now!, and they revealed that it's been a fictitious narrative. We are told that black mercenaries are fighting on behalf of Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. And what has happened since this information has come through the media, a fictitious narrative, is that now black Africans have suffered murder, have suffered killing. The Benghazi area, where the people are located, that began to rise up against Muammar Gaddafi. And we are not saying that they do not have any legitimate grievances against Gaddafi, but we are looking at how, even if your grievances are legitimate, that the ruling class and families will seek to infiltrate your movement and spin it for their purposes. So the media began to tell us black mercenaries are fighting on behalf of Gaddafi in Libya, and so the Benghazi rebels, the Benghazi leadership, began to kill black Africans. The media even said sub-Saharan black Africans. So many have suffered death because of this fictitious report. Peter Bokart of Human Rights Watch said there is no evidence of any black sub-Saharan mercenary groups being used by Gaddafi. But what we see is the ugly head of racism. You see, racism is a philosophy created by the ruling class and ruling families to divide light skin and white skin from dark skin and black skin people. And so the North Africa, having a lot of lighter skinned and white-skinned people because of European invasion and intermarriage and intermingling, some of these lighter-skinned have been infected with the philosophy of racism. Not for their benefit, but for the benefit of the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the ruling class and ruling families. So the Stephen Gowen and also Peter Bocart on Democracy Now! Said this is untrue, fictitious narrative. So the United States, the French and Canadian and British warships are off the coast of Libya, supposedly to evacuate foreign nationals. But the reality is to overthrow Gaddafi under humanitarian cover. Webster Tarpley wrote a book on Barack Obama, and he deals with the use of humanitarianism to cover the reality that the desire is in reality to overthrow a government or a leader that you do not like. So, the United States, France, Canada, Britain have warships off the coast of Libya, supposedly for humanitarian purposes, but we know it's to overthrow Gaddafi, a man who they have hated for years. The British organization called the Special Air Services, Special Ops, are on the ground, or have been on the ground in Libya, in Benghazi, for at least 2 weeks. This is Special Operations Forces, called Special Air Service of Britain. A British officer was escorted by the Special Air Services, or British Special Operations, to talk to the rebel leadership in Benghazi. That British official or diplomat departed on a warship that is called Her Majesty's Ship Cumberland. This is a warship, British warship, that has been docked at Benghazi. And it carries at least 250 sailors, marines. It has the highest technological missiles. And special ops, the helicopters carried in the special operations people, and they have been leaving on this ship. This is to let us know. Phil Taylor is letting us know that the CIA, the MI5 and 6 is in Libya trying to infiltrate and spin this thing for their purposes. NATO is there. The CIA, British Special Operations in Libya to overthrow a government, to assist the rebels. Canada has their JTF2 there, which is Canada's Special Operations Services, to help lead the Benghazi leadership. I'm going to pause now and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier, your Minister of Information, thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program, March the 13th, 2011 is the recording date. So the Special Operations of Canada are there, the JTF2 Special Operations, also in Benghazi, leading as advisors and soldiers to help the Benghazi leadership overthrow Gaddafi. The National Front for the Salvation of Libya is there. It's a front for British operations, for British special operations, MI5 and MI6. They have been trying to overthrow Muammar Gaddafi since 1981. And they are backed not only by Britain, but by Saudi Arabia and the CIA. Phil Taylor and Stephen Gowen specifically said that the National Front for the Salvation of Libya are specifically backed by Saudi Arabia and the CIA. And you know that Saudi Arabia is doing the bidding of the CIA, by and large, giving billions of our money, United States taxpayer money, so that Saudi Arabia, using Islam as a cover, can squash the revolution and help the CIA and these wicked powers that we are speaking of. Now also, getting back to the Benghazi uprising in Libya, I found it interesting that Benghazi is the stronghold of the monarchy that was overthrown by Muammar Gaddafi in the late 70s, if I have my history correct. This monarchy, King Idris. King Idris was the king that ruled Libya on behalf of the West, on behalf of Britain. And Muammar Gaddafi, I believe it was the early 70s, early to mid 70s, overthrew, 1969, 42 years ago. Muammar Gaddafi overthrew King Idris. And it is interesting that Benghazi, the stronghold of King Idris, the old monarchy overthrown by Muammar Gaddafi, the Benghazi leadership has been using the old flag of King Idris and the old flag of the monarchy of King Idris. Now, we're not saying that the Benghazi leadership, that they do not have legitimate grievances, but what we are pointing out is that the CIA has infiltrated MI5 and 6, Mossad, Canada Special Ops, the France's Special Operations have infiltrated this movement and are spinning it on behalf of the ruling class and ruling families, Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. So the solution is that we must join the Worldwide People's Revolution, because we are the revolutionaries and we want to see people really become free. So the Benghazi leadership, they are calling for NATO cover, NATO air cover. This is an act of invasion. This is an act of war. They're calling on the West and NATO to commit an act of war in administering NATO air cover. And you've heard, I believe, the fella name is Gates, that is the head of the United States military. And he's saying, look, if you call for the cutting off of airspace, I can't call the exact word they use, but the cutting off of airspace, air sanctions, I forget the exact word they use, what you have to do is bomb installations. You have to bomb certain strategic places in Libya. So this is an act of war. France, Britain, and the United States of North America are contemplating an illegal, immoral act of war and bloodshed because they hate Gaddafi. Also, on Tarpley.net, Webster Tarpley in February or March was interviewed on Coast to Coast, and I'll have this information in my summary page. And they discussed the fictitious narrative again concerning Libya, that Russian news is saying that because Russia has satellites that are able to look at Libya, that Russia is saying that it is fictitious, a lie, a falsehood to say that Gaddafi is strafing his people. Russia is saying that this is a lie, fictitious and false, that Gaddafi is not strafing his people or bombing his people. He's fighting the Benghazi leadership because they have been infiltrated by CIA, MI5 and 6, Mossad, France's Special Operations, Canada's Special Operations. And it's interesting that Muammar Gaddafi said that this is Al-Qaeda. And we know, and we're going to say this a little later, that Al-Qaeda was created by the CIA. Does the bidding of the CIA to cause us to think that Islam is terrorism. Now let me move to my minister, Louis Farrakhan, recently on the Cliff Kelly Show, a radio show in Chicago, WVON, March the 10th. And up until now, you can see a part of that interview on video on a link to Cliff Kelly's radio program on the internet. And I hope it stays available for a long while. I'll put that link in my summary page. I do not know how long that will remain available. But Minister Farrakhan, in uncovering this fictitious narrative, revealed that the CIA, as we have been saying, special operations, are there because they hate Gaddafi. And Minister Farrakhan warned Obama not to go in and not to kill and bomb and so on, and said that, as we have been saying, yes, dissatisfaction in Benghazi. They have legitimate grievances, but the CIA is infiltrating and spinning this thing. Now, continuing with Minister Farrakhan in uncovering the fictitious narrative. You see, we think that Gaddafi is raping his people and whatnot, but my Minister Louis Farrakhan said, Gaddafi has provided jobs and food for the people by using the oil, using Libya's oil. Oil monies, monies gathered and accrued because of the oil wealth. You see, that's a bone of contention with the ruling class and families because they want control of Gaddafi's oil. After Nigeria in Africa, on the continent of Africa, after Nigeria, matter of fact, let me say this, it's this way. Before Nigeria, now at this point, Nigeria is the greatest provider of oil to the West. But, if I understand it correctly, Libya has more oil. It's just not being used at the greatest capacity. So Nigeria is producing more, but Libya has more. So you see that the West wants to get at this oil. There's water under the Sahara Desert, and Gaddafi used the monies accrued from the oil wealth to bring water out from under the Sahara Desert to the surface and bring it to the Benghazi area, even all the way to the border of Tunisia. The desert, farming in the desert. Gaddafi has produced and cultivated farming in the desert to feed the people. Used billions of monies, billions of dollars of monies from the oil wealth to build homes for the Libyan people. So what is this all about? Now, we're not saying that there aren't legitimate grievances, but we have to look at this thing in reality. The United States of North America, Britain, France, Canada, they all want the land, the wealth, and the resources. And they are infiltrating dissatisfaction, infiltrating legitimate uprisings, and spinning it. So my Minister Louis Farrakhan is warning Obama. Now, Minister Farrakhan voted for Barack Obama, but Minister Farrakhan is not a punk. Minister Farrakhan is seeking to hold Obama accountable and is warning Obama and all of those wicked ones around Obama that is pushing the Obama administration into such wicked acts. Be warned. Be warned, because what you sow is what you're going to reap. What goes around comes around. This revolution, Minister Farrakhan warned, is coming to the United States of America. Look at Wisconsin, look at Indiana, look at Ohio. The people are dissatisfied, just as the people outside of America are dissatisfied. People inside of the United States of America are dissatisfied. So, as the people rise up inside of the United States of North America, will Barack Obama be the friend of the people? Will Barack Obama, the Obama administration, and the government of the United States of North America be the friend of the protesters? What you saw was what was going on in Wisconsin this last week of March the 7th, that the police came in and drug out the protesters out of Wisconsin. You know that the Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin has said he would call in the National Guard. You know his wicked implementation of a bill in Wisconsin to break up unions, to break up the government union, and they start at the government union and play the government union against the private unions, such as the UAW and other private unions, and play workers against each other, causing workers who are not in unions making less pay to think that they have been robbed by the workers in unions, as if the problem lies with any worker, any working class sister or brother, whether in a union or not in a union, when in reality the problem is with the ruling class and families, the wealthy, the bankers, the multinational corporations. So as the people become increasingly dissatisfied with this situation, because you know, last session we talked about the NBC Wall Street Journal poll that polled Americans, and 60, 70, 80% of the citizens of the United States of North America believe that every citizen, every worker in the United States of North America has a right to unionize. Specifically, they said the public unions, but we know that feeling runs to private unions as well. We believe in unions. We say organize all workers in the United States of North America into the union. Call it United American Workers or United Workers of America. And then let us together organize workers internationally. And let us all become one union and overturn the wicked power of the ruling class and the ruling families, the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. Call it United Workers of the World. Make up an acronym, but we believe in unionization and that everyone should be able to work for a living wage. So my minister Farrakhan warned Obama, what will you do when the people continue to, as the people continue to rise up? Are you going to turn the guns on them like has been done overseas in Iraq? They have turned the guns on some protesters in Egypt. You think it's done? The United States of North America is yet in control. The British are yet in control. The powers that we're speaking of are yet in control through the military of Egypt. And the people are yet protesting in Tahrir Square. And they have suffered bullets right now in this time. But the Obama administration is saying nothing. So when that comes here, what will he do? The worldwide national discourse, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the ruling class and ruling families are seeking to control our discussion, cause us to think one way when we should think another way. Leaving Libya, coming to Peter King, Representative Peter King, I believe he's representative in New York. He held a hearing, much like the McCarthy hearings, in which you recall the history. McCarthy, Senator McCarthy, back in the day, 50s, held hearings to destroy communism, because communism is a threat to capitalism, because communism says that the people should have equal access to the land, the wealth, and the resources. Well, that's a threat. And you know, we're dealing with the synagogue of Satan here. And the synagogue of Satan is threatened by any philosophy that says that the people should have equal access to the land, the wealth, and the resources. So yesterday it was communism. And today it is still communism, but also today it is Islam. So Islam is raised up as the boogeyman. Islam is raised up to cause us to maneuver. Peter King, working on behalf of the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, they want to maneuver us into hating Islam and hating Muslims. So Peter King held a hearing dealing with the so-called radicalization of American Muslims. And he is holding up this fictitious narrative of Al-Qaeda perpetrating 9/11 and Al-Qaeda inside of the United States of North America recruiting Muslims to turn Muslims into terrorists and to attack Islam, holding up that fictitious narrative. We know these are lies and that this is absolutely fictitious. Recall what we said last session about Raymond Davis, a CIA contractor in Pakistan, arrested by Pakistani officials for the killing of two Pakistani Secret Service officers. And when this man was arrested, it was found out that he was a CIA contractor, and the Obama administration lied and said he was a diplomat, said he should be afforded diplomatic immunity. But we come to find out that this was a CIA contractor. And when he was arrested, Raymond Davis, it was found that he had pictures on his camera. He's connected to the terrorist act of the assassination of Benazir Bhutto in India. Raymond Davis is a controller of terrorist organizations on behalf of the CIA, MI6, MI5, Mossad, Rothschilds. Raymond Davis controls terrorist organizations. And Raymond Davis, through his control of terrorist organizations, is connected to the assassination of Benazir Bhutto, who was the head of state of India. Raymond Davis is also connected to the beheading and assassination of Daniel Pearl, a journalist and reporter that was beheaded by a so-called terrorist group that was under the control and is under the control of Raymond Davis on behalf of the CIA, MI6, 5, Mossad, Oppenheimers. And when Raymond Davis was arrested, he had a camera, and on that camera was found pictures of mosques, madrasas, I don't think I have that word right, but that means Islamic school, and other schools in Pakistan. And the belief is that Raymond Davis was going to coordinate terrorist attacks, blame it on Al-Qaeda, in order to foment hatred of Islam and cause us to continue to support this fictitious war on terrorism. If you look at a DVD called Core of Corruption, Core of Corruption, you will learn about a CIA operation called Able Danger. And in Able Danger, there were some low-level CIA agents who were tracking the so-called terrorist, Muhammad Atta and others. And at a certain point, these low-level CIA agents were going to make a move and arrest Muhammad Atta and others. But the superiors, the high-level CIA officers, those in charge, in leadership, who know what is going on, told their low-level CIA officers to stand down. Why? Because the CIA is controlling these so-called terrorist organizations in order to cause us to be maneuvered into supporting this fictitious war on terrorism, which is in reality a war of terror to terrorize the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. But why Senator Peter King attack Islam? What is this about? Other than the reality that you know that the CIA created Al-Qaeda, and this is all fictitious, and these terrorist plots, you have FBI agents infiltrating mosques, trying to entrap people so that they may be arrested at a certain point, so that the media can blow it up and cause us to think that Islamic terror is inside of America, so that we may continue to support this illegal, immoral, fictitious war of on terrorism, which is in reality a war of terror perpetrated by the United States of North America, North American Empire, the CIA, the Fraternal Order of the Police, the FBI, MI6, Mossad, and so on. So what is the purpose? And we're going to take our break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.